The New Orleans teaching force changed dramatically after Hurricane Katrina, when all public school teachers were laid off. They were mostly black veteran educators from the area. Now teachers are more likely to be young, white, and to have grown up outside New Orleans. Reporter Alex Neeson covered the impact of these changes and efforts to diversify teaching staff in a recent article for Slate magazine. It's one of a 12-part series on race in U.S. schools, and she spoke about that story with our Mallory Falk. Neeson began with the story of one of her sources, Raven Foster, a young teacher at KIPP Central City.
When Raven first started teaching, she started to notice pretty quickly within that first year that her students were pinpointing her as their favorite teacher, not necessarily because they loved science, which is what she taught to fifth graders, not necessarily because they were pointing out some specific trait of hers, but because she was black. And she noticed this just in conversations that she had with them in class, in the hallways.
Raven Foster was one of the few black teachers on staff, and that isn't an anomaly. In your article, you cite a study that found the number of black teachers in New Orleans dropped from 71% in 2004 to 49% in 2014. And while that's still many more black teachers than a lot of other cities have, it means New Orleans educators aren't reflecting the racial makeup of the student body as much as they used to. Why does that matter?
I think that having examples for kids of people who look like them, who are in positions of power, who can introduce them to fields that they perhaps don't get an opportunity to see people who look like them in, is really, really important. For Raven Foster, as a science teacher for fifth graders, you know, in her classroom, there was a poster of Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus series. And she's sort of this beloved, you know, oddball science teacher that a lot of people, you know, watch the TV show and read the books. And on this poster at the front of Raven's classroom, her skin is painted brown. And I think that that's powerful. She's an example, sort of a living example, that science can be for these kids, too. And, you know, maybe some of her fifth graders will go on to college and pursue, you know, science majors, or maybe they'll become doctors. And I think part of that can be attributed to them having an example of a person who comes from a neighborhood like theirs, who comes from a city like theirs, and who looks like them, you know, sort of proving to them that they can do this, too.
Right. Raven Foster is from New Orleans, which is also a rarity in schools here. A lot of teachers come from other places. But as you write, charter school leaders are starting to recognize that race matters and that cultural competency is important. And they're being a lot more intentional about hiring local teachers and teachers of color. What are some of the steps that they're taking?
Right. So in New Orleans, what KIPP has tried to do is really tap local talent. And so they've started a partnership with Xavier, and they are looking to recruit people of color straight from the university to come work in their classrooms. And then another thing that they've tried to do is they're starting to look at growing their own teachers. And so Joey LaRoche, who's the principal at KIPP Renaissance High School, started an intro to teaching class there for juniors and seniors, where he is working with teenagers to teach them about education as a profession and to introduce that as an option as they're starting to look forward to college in the hopes that they might pursue education as a major and then eventually return to a KIPP school in New Orleans to work as a teacher. Another big help in New Orleans has been Teach for America's efforts to diversify. A large proportion of teachers in New Orleans are drawn from Teach for America's core. And over the past couple of years, they've very aggressively been altering their recruitment strategies, working with historically black colleges and universities across the country, working with student affinity groups on college campuses, such as black sororities and fraternities. They've been to Hispanic-serving institutions. And that has sort of inherently helped push that charge in New Orleans because there's such a big Teach for America presence.
Even with those efforts, KIPP was only successful at 2 of their 10 New Orleans schools in really substantially changing the racial composition of their teaching staff. It's a slow, gradual process, right? You also point out that teachers in New Orleans tend to be younger and more inexperienced than before Katrina. Are there challenges to hiring veteran teachers, including those who worked in schools here before the storm?
One really practical challenge is just that charter schools in New Orleans don't contribute to Louisiana's pension program. And so when schools start to think about how can we recruit teachers who have lots of experience, that can be a real detriment. It's difficult to convince someone who has put in 25 years to the state's pension program to come into a charter school where that suddenly goes away. And so you saw some veteran teachers did return to the city, and certainly some of them are working in various charter schools. Others left the state, and others went to neighboring parishes and got jobs in district schools there. One of the other challenges is just rebuilding trust. I think that what happened to veteran educators who were predominantly Black after the hurricane created this sort of tension, I think, that existed for many years and perhaps still exists. There are some historical parallels to, when schools across the country were integrating and suddenly Black teachers' jobs were on the line. I think that it perhaps brought up some really painful memories. And so that can make it difficult for, you know, charter school recruiters now who are trying to convince teachers that there's a place for them in the school. I think they're fighting history. I think they're fighting practicalities like pension and work hours. There's no union representation at most charter schools. And so these are all things that can make it challenging to hire veteran teachers in particular.
So with that in mind, do you have any predictions about the future?
I envision schools starting to really heavily focus on figuring out how to make their environments attractive to teachers who have more experience. And part of that will come from figuring out how to retain the young teachers that they have now so that in 5 or 10 years they become the veteran teachers in the classroom. And part of that will be about recruitment efforts. And I think we're starting to see some of that at some charter schools across the city who are looking into how to offer retirement plans, for example, you know, offering childcare for teachers who have their own children to help accommodate the long schedules that they're expected to work, particularly at charter schools.
Is there anything else you think it's important to share?
I think that it's important for people to remember that no one is questioning the intentions of the teachers who have come to New Orleans to work in schools. I think that we talk about race so ineffectively in this country that it can be difficult to have conversations about, the racial composition of who we're hiring and who we're putting in core classrooms versus extracurricular classrooms. But those are really important conversations to have because when you have a teacher workforce that isn't diverse, that doesn't reflect the different experiences, languages, and cultural backgrounds of the students, then you end up having a group of people making decisions about curriculum and potentially bringing in unconscious bias into the classroom, and it sort of goes unchecked. And I think it's really important to have different people around as a means of making the school the best that it can be.
I've been speaking with Alex Neeson, a former Teacher Project Fellow and newly minted Mary Wright Fellow at The Village Voice. Her latest article is The Color of School Reform. It's one in a 12-part series on race in American schools, which you can find at slate.com. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying to learn. Since this is the perfect spot to learn, oh, teach me tonight. Starting with the ABC of it, right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of it.